Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to apologize to you now. I'm getting over a little cold, but every once in a while it sneaks up on me. So if I cough in the sermon, I want to apologize now ahead of time. I won't apologize again later. I want to recommend to you today something from the gospel reading from Luke chapter 16 that may seem kind of radical today. I tell you now so that you won't throw stones or tomatoes at me, not yet, not until maybe after the sermon, and then I can hide behind one of the acolytes or some people in the front row, then you can throw all the tomatoes you want, okay? I want to recommend to you today, are you ready? Some principles for poor stewardship. Now, I'm honestly not saying this for shock value. Rather, I'm recommending these because Jesus teaches some really poor stewardship today in the gospel reading, the parable of the dishonest manager. And since we preach all of Jesus' teachings here at First Lutheran, we must stand behind and also preach Jesus' poor stewardship plan, as it says in the gospel, and apply it to our faith and life in Him. These recommendations that I glean today from the gospel are poor in the world standards, but in truth, they teach the richness of the gospel in Christ Jesus. So may we all have receptive ears and hearts to believe them. The first poor stewardship recommendation today: in order to be a good poor steward, you must waste your master's possessions. We really don't need a recommendation to do that, do we? We're all pretty good wasters by nature, aren't we? Although I have to admit, as far as me and my household, we're pretty good stewards. We live underneath our means. We recycle all of our plastic and cardboard and paper, most all of it anyway. We compost every day all of our vegetable and fruit scrappings. Recycle compost. We shut the electricity off, you know, when we're not using it. It's a good thing. Our coffee grounds are composted. Little things we do every day that would say, hey, you know, you're pretty good stewards. You're not wasters. And yet also, we really waste a lot. For example, we have a little child at home who's about 10 weeks old, baby Jonathan, and he uses a paper disposable diapers. You know, we're not brave enough to use those cloth diapers. You know, so we probably should, but we're not. And recently I read, you know how many trees every child born in America probably uses if they use, you know, disposable paper diapers? I once read it was 200 trees worth for every child, all those diapers, paper disposable diapers. 200 trees. Wow, that's wasting a lot of our Lord's trees. Lord, have mercy. I'm also sure that I've, in my days under the sun, have wasted a lot of God-given time. I'm sure I've done a lot of things with God-given time that I should have been doing something else. Lord, have mercy on me. I've been quite a waster in a lot of ways. I do take heart, however, that in the gospel and in the many of the people of the Old Testament, that there's a lot of wasters in the people of old, in the Bible. Like, for example, God commanded the animal sacrifices in the Old Testament, and there was a lot of wasted animals, let me tell you, because a lot of times people didn't truly repent with their hearts. They just did the lip service, and they sacrificed an animal, and they thought, well, that's good. That's what God... Well, God does want the sacrifice. He shows that something has to die. But He really wanted true and contrite hearts for that sacrifice. Otherwise, it's a wasted animal. What a waste! Lots of animals killed that shouldn't have been killed because they weren't truly repentant for their sins. David highlighted this in the Psalms, too, when he said, "For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering." The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. The fact that we and the prophets and people of old waste so much of God's creation points out again that we are sinners, fallen people, in need of redemption. We are wasters. According to the old Adam in us, we ourselves are worthy to be recycled and composted. And we will in such a way until the Lord comes again. We are wasting away and we waste away, make plenty of waste, every day. We don't need to be told, waste your master's possessions, because we do that pretty well already. Though perhaps as Christians, we should be conservative wasters, don't you think? Try not to excessively waste things that are under our control. Use self-control and not waste too much for our children and our children's children and for the planet and so forth. We need to be conservative, good wasters, not excessive, unselfish people. But I think it's time for our second poor stewardship principle today. When your master calls you to account for your wasteful management, go out and forgive debts. That's what our dishonest manager did today in the gospel, didn't he? When he got caught wasting all those goods, the master said, come, give an account for your management. And what did he do? He went out and he wasted even more of his master's money by forgiving his debtor's debts, cutting down a percentage of what they owed their master. Now, why did he do this? Well, because he was shrewd. He was wise. And he knew that he would make friends for himself when he got kicked out of his master's house, that he'd have some place to stay, that people would receive him. So he was taking advantage and making friends for himself using his master's money. He was wasting more of his money. Jesus, in this parable, commends the man for his shrewdness. And he says that all of us, all the sons of light, all Christians, should go and do likewise, even do more so. Well, what does that mean? Well, he doesn't want us to be dishonest managers of his kingdom, but he does want us to go out and forgive debts, to borrow from our master and forgive debts. That's what we are to do. Of all people, as Christians, we should go out and forgive debts. Forgive debts that are owed to us. In terms of sin, every sin in the Bible is a debt. Forgive those sins that people do against us, but also and more so, go out and forgive God's debts, because God paid for every one of those sins. Every sin against God has been paid for. That's why Jesus had come, to announce the forgiveness of sins, the forgiveness of debts in his holy name. We of all people should go out and forgive debts. Forgive, forgive, forgive. That's why Christ Jesus had come. For God will call us to be those wise managers of his greatest possession, Christ Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. God will commend us for doing here on earth his purposes of heaven. So be a waster of God's greatest possession, his forgiveness. He wants us to. It's okay, waste it. He can make more. He's God. He's never ending. He can make more forgiveness than he has the all-sufficient sacrifice that is in Christ Jesus. He'll never run out. Next, the third poor stewardship principle that I gleaned from the text. Since you cannot serve God and money, serve God. But then realize that you can't serve money. You'll either be a good servant of the one, or you'll be a good servant of the other, but you can't have it both ways. So I urge you today to be a good servant of God and a poor steward of money. You know, some financial decisions that we'll make as Christians will not be the most sound advice from Edward Jones. And all the financial advisors in the world, sometimes Christians will make decisions that will be of mercy, will forgive debts for people who owe us things. And other people would be like, oh no, you're wasting money. Well, we don't serve money, we serve God. And there's a lot of also, I think, a lot of stewardship programs in the church that are built on, you know, good biblical principles, but sometimes I think they fail, and maybe the whole enterprise has failed a little bit, because they try to teach you how to be good and faithful stewards of money, but oftentimes we'll forget to do the greater thing, which is to show mercy. You know, sometimes the Bible teaches us to give with your right hand such that your left hand doesn't even know what you're giving. And sometimes those stewardship, we'll work all of our time and our effort and our money just to get the money just right, but we'll fail to do the greater thing, which is to love and to show mercy and to waste our master's possessions, waste money sometimes for the sake of the gospel. Well, you could be a good servant of money, but then you won't be a good servant of God, Jesus says. So we should realize this and then serve God. And remember that serving Him is most important and that all things else will be added to us, not to worry. When we serve God by faith and by faithfulness, no matter how our money situation looks, He will work good for us. He will forgive us. He will work good of our poor money management even, because He is a gracious and a powerful God. We cannot speed up the ushering of His kingdom by getting our money just right. Not any faster than He would do it, because He is in control of all things. And He will do it in His own time and in His own way. We need to trust and believe in Him. This takes faith to believe, doesn't it? And when you have such faith, you serve God. But then you cannot serve money, and you'll probably be unfaithful with it sometimes and not invest it in the right way and probably not expend it exactly like you should have. Well, if you're too busy serving God, then so what about the mammon? Seek His kingdom first, and all these other things will be added unto you. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't serve them both. You can serve the one, but not the other. And despise the one and love the other. Serve God. In this sense, be a poor steward. Serve God. And how do you serve God? By believing in the mercy and the sacrifice and the love that is in Christ Jesus. To be baptized. To believe in a merciful God. That's how we serve God. And all these other things will work out in the way in which God does, because He forgives us and He loves us. And we can try to be good stewards too. We ought to. We ought to be good stewards of our money as best we can, but we do that out of love, not out of obligation, not out of guilt, not out of fear that we're not going to do it right. Oh, we better get it just right or God won't love us. God loves us. Therefore, out of love, decide what's best to do out of good reason, and God will bless it. Okay, fourth and final poor stewardship principle comes from verse 9 from our text of the gospel reading. Make friends with unrighteous wealth so that they will receive you into eternal dwellings. Now, what does this mean? What is unrighteous wealth? You know, many people think it simply means money, that God is teaching us to use money to make friends for ourselves and to save our own hide when things in the world fail, like the economic system. But I would suggest to you that this unrighteous wealth should be interpreted as wealth that is not rightly yours. Unrighteous wealth, wealth that is not rightly yours. In fact, wealth that is actually rightly God's. God's wealth. Make friends with God's wealth so that they receive you into eternal dwellings. And that's what God means in this text. See how using God's wealth we are able to make friends, make disciples of all nations, make Christians, so that there's more people to serve and praise God in eternity. Use unrighteous wealth, use God's wealth to make friends, to make Christians, so that we're in heaven together praising a wonderful and merciful God together. Many, many people be there. We want friends in heaven. Use unrighteous wealth. Use God's wealth to make friends. Use the Word. Use the sacraments. Use the word of the cross to make Christians. Tell about the forgiveness of sins, the forgiveness of debts that is in God's holy name. Make friends for yourselves, and they'll be friends to receive you when you get to heaven. What a wonderful thing God is teaching us here. Use unrighteous wealth, wealth that is rightly God's, to plant seeds and bring others to faith in the gospel. This kind of wealth, it's okay to waste. The more we waste, the more God is pleased, because of His love and His patience for sinners is all but never ending. It will end. There will come a time where His patience runs out, but now is the time. We have time now. There's still a chance for us to go out and forgive debts, to make friends, to use unrighteous wealth, and to bring people into the kingdom. And God will bless that. So you see today that poor stewardship, by the world's standards, is often good stewardship by God's standards. When we draw from and even waste our master's possessions, which is his interest-free, unending supply of grace, forgiveness, peace, love, all revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Be a poor steward today. Be a waster. Don't worry. Have no guilt about it. Waste your master's possessions. Forgive debts. Be a poor manager. And so hear from God on the last day, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom prepared for you. For you believed. You had mercy. You forgave. You loved your neighbors as yourself. You were a poor steward of mammon. Great job. You served me." As Luther said on his dying day, we are poor beggars. This is true. But today I add, we need to be poor stewards. God grant us hearing ears and hearts to believe this. For Jesus' sake. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.